Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Monday, March 6th. New York Congressman Pat Ryan, Democrat from the Hudson Valley, is my guest. Congressman, we just had this unusual sequence of events, as you know, where the Washington, D.C. City Council passed a criminal justice reform bill to fight mass and excessive incarceration. The Democratic mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, vetoed it. City Council overrode her veto 12-1, so the reforms would have gone into effect. But then Congress voted to override City Council because Congress has a say in Washington, D.C. urban affairs. The vote in the House was all the Republicans plus 31 Democrats who wanted to appear or who genuinely are tough on crime in that particular way. Which way did you vote?
I was one of the 31 Democrats, and I think a lot of this who said that, for example, lowering penalties for murder, carjacking, sexual assault is not the right direction. And I will say that was a hard vote because as a former local government official, I do not think it's actually appropriate for the federal government to come in and, as Mayor Bowser has said, kind of step on the home rule authority that pretty much every other local government has that I had when I was a county executive in the Hudson Valley. But that's the system we have, and until we get statehood for D.C., which I support, I had to decide how do we think about public safety. And having been on the ground and worked on these issues closely with law enforcement in my community, I did feel like this was an important moment to say that with crime as it is, we have to make sure we hold those committing these atrocious crimes accountable.
So you're on the same side as President Biden here, because that's the next step that I didn't mention yet. After Congress voted to overrule what D.C. City Council did regarding its own city, President Biden could have vetoed the bill, reaffirming his stance that D.C. should have home rule as a city, not be subject to national politics, as just played out in Congress. But he tweeted this: I support D.C. statehood and home rule, but I don't support some of the changes D.C. Council put forward over the mayor's objections, such as lowering penalties for carjackings. That was a tweet from President Biden's account. So, I mean, this is about 2024, right? The next election versus the principle of D.C. home rule?
I agree with what the president said, and I actually think it's about listening to people on the ground, whether you're in New York City or the Hudson Valley or I'm sure other parts of the country, who are concerned about public safety. I mean, we have seen both in D.C., where I spend some time now, and certainly in New York, we've seen a huge increase in car-related crimes, thefts, carjacking. So as that happens, we have to respond to the concerns and the data on the ground. And, you see this happening, of course, under Mayor Adams in the city, and our local law enforcement are working hard on this, and we're making sure we're giving them the tools to meet the concerns from voters. So, I mean, we always have elections, but I think it's much more about listening. I was the only Democratic House member in New York who won this year in a hard seat. There were 9 competitive seats. I was the only one, the only Democrat who won. And I think part of it was I talked about the fact that we have to listen to the public safety concerns of our constituents. And it's always a balance. But in this case, I think, we got the balance right.
You were the only Democrat who won in the competitive districts in suburban New York. Long Island went from 2 Democrats to Republicans to 4 Republicans. Congressman Jamal Bowman, who's part of the squad, did retain his seat pretty easily in the lower Hudson Valley in Westchester. But yes, Sean Patrick Maloney lost north of there, but you won. Something the president might make his first veto is a bill that looks like it's getting through both houses of Congress with just enough Democrat support to limit how much retirement funds can take so-called ESG into account. That's environmental, social, and governance practices of the companies, like good labor practices or a divestment from fossil fuel companies, things like that. Here's Republican Senator Mike Braun of Indiana on why he objects to allowing companies to do this with retirement funds.
To me, this is a dangerous navigation because they've done a five-year study that 2.5% differential in the return on these funds, where you're emphasizing ESG versus what is the best return, affects 152 million Americans in their retirement 401ks, about 12 trillion. Do the math, 2.5% on 12 trillion. You should not be burdened with trying to push any political agenda where you're going to impact the hard earnings that you give to someone else in trust that you're going to make the right decision.
Senator Braun of Indiana on Fox. How did you vote on the ESG bill, Congressman?
I strongly disagree with Senator Braun and Republicans on this. And I think pretty much every Democrat, I believe all Democrats, supported the idea, which is ironic to me that we're the ones supporting this idea that it's about choice, that the Republicans who are supposedly about, allowing individual choice and fiduciaries responsible for making these decisions, who are the experts to make a choice. So the policy just allows, it doesn't require, but it allows investors and fiduciaries to say, hey, we might actually care that these companies or funds we're investing in are polluting our environment, are allowing rail lines to derail and cause pollution, or other important issues that actually do affect the value of a company in the long term. So I think this is a very disingenuous and hypocritical piece of legislation, frankly. And I think I was proud to say that fiduciaries should have this choice. And if people want to factor in environmental and other concerns, that they absolutely should be able to do that.
Republicans say they're fighting what they call woke capitalism. By the way, the reason this could get through the Democratic Senate is that they got two Democrats, Joe Manchin and John Tester. But the Republicans, they claim generally that they believe in letting the private sector function with minimal government interference, right?
Supposedly, but again, this is actions speak louder than words. This is the exact opposite to your point, Brian. This is actually removing optionality and choice from fiduciaries. And I don't know Senator Braun, but I'm pretty confident in saying he's not an expert in financial markets. He's not a fiduciary. Let's actually let those experts and the investors whose pension funds are involved make that choice themselves. So this is another example, by the way, of dark money groups and big mega Republican donors that have been lobbying to pass this bill. This is the same story we kind of see across the board. It's very similar to actually the rail safety issue we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't help but thinking if private investment funds were setting themselves up to divest from companies that practiced affirmative action or provide gender-affirming care benefits, maybe we wouldn't see Republicans so concerned about maximizing profits above all else, you think?
Exactly. And that, I think the good news here is, after a long time of kind of being able to cloak this under other arguments, I think the vast majority of Americans in both parties are seeing the growing consolidation of these mega corporations. I'm certainly not casting this on all companies, but some of these, ones that have tremendous power, the Amazons of the world that pay nothing in corporate tax, yet are the wealthiest companies in the world.
I know you got to go, but sometimes on the Republican argument side, the people who are invested in these funds don't have the choice whether to divest or not. Like if it's a big pension fund related to their union or something like that, they may not have that individual choice as to what they want to do with their 401ks, and those decisions are being made for them, right?
Right. This is these fiduciaries, and what I voted for and the vast preponderance of Democrats was to give those fiduciaries the choice. And then, I think good fiduciaries are actually legally required to listen to and incorporate the concerns of their you know, their customers, their investors. So I think this was headed in a good direction and was going to be a positive reform. And then we see the corporate interests come in and do exactly what we're seeing play out in very disingenuous arguments from Republicans, unfortunately.
All right. Looks like this is headed to be Joe Biden's first veto as president. Congressman Pat Ryan from the Hudson Valley, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate when you come on.
Oh, thank you, Brian. It was great. Have a great day.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.